A picture is worth 1,000 words, but the right voice can paint 1,000 pictures. Sometimes the voice is distinct, and sometimes it's poignant. Sometimes it's just simply special. Our guest today is all three. His voice has become a part of the fabric of Leon County as a staple of radio. Today, we talk about his life, radio journey, and how it all led to the Black Radio Hall of Fame. Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson. Just like every time, we are joined with an incredibly special guest. This one, I have to put a Mr. in front of it. We are joined with Mr. Cedric Foster, known to the world and especially to this area as Doc Foster, the music doctor. It is such a pleasure to have you in the studio. Thanks for joining us, Doc.
Well, man, it's a pleasure being here. I am just so excited. Now, I appreciate you having me here and appreciate you interviewing me.
You know, you've been so humble since you walked in the studio and you're kind of genuflecting. But the fact of the matter is, this isn't an appreciation that I should be bestowing on you. It's one that you have earned. So the thing that's going to anchor this spot, which we'll actually start off talking about, is you have very recently gotten notice that you will be inducted into the Black Radio Hall of Fame. First of all, congratulations.
And second of all, tell me how it feels. And I'm going to say this, hallelujah. A long time coming, but it's here right now. I really appreciate that. You know, one of the things, Josh, is young folks say, I've been grinding for a long time, man. About 53 years. I started in 1973 working on it at the time. But I actually wanted to be in radio in the mid-60s. Mm. Now, I'm going to be telling my age here pretty soon, but around 1966, I got interested in radio. Now, Josh, I want to share this with you. Mm-hmm. I attended a high school, George Washington Carver High School, in my hometown, Picayune, Mississippi. And have you ever seen the movie Friday Night Lights?
Sure.
Okay. Well, that was my high school. Not in the movie, but that was my high school. We won 65 straight football games in a row from 1957 to 1965. And believe it or not, I'm pretty big boy here. I've always wanted to play in the band. And so they was not going to have that. They was not going to have it. I mean, probably back in the day, might have been a one-star, one-and-a-half-star, maybe even a two-star player. So they wanted all the guys to make a contribution to the football team. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I always loved music. I always loved music. Sure. So I'm sitting here thinking, what can I do to be around music? And so one day in 1966, I was listening to my favorite radio station and my favorite air personality, the late, great Shelley Pope. He called himself the Black Pope. And by the way, I did an internship with him. I heard him say this on the radio. He said, stage 9, stitch 5, we got a long ways to go, so take it easy, Greasy. I want you to sit back and relax. I'm going to let you slide a while. And it hit me. I said, man, I can do that. And what happened? I had my parents to buy me one of those little recorders, you know, little small reel-to-reel recorders. I mimic everybody on the radio, from Shelley Pope to Herb Kent. And let me tell you something, Josh, if you was on the radio in the 60s, I would mimic you. So I just kept working on my trade, kept working on it. And finally, you know, when I went to college, I wanted to major in communications at Alcorn State University. We didn't have a college radio station. We didn't have one. So, but I took as many classes as possible dealing with speech, you know, read as much as I could, just reading out loud and doing the work. Some of them, this was the crazy thing back then. Sometimes I'd be, you know, in the car with my friends, and I might just bust out and say, "Hey, 1070 WDIN Memphis," just like that. Oh man, it would blow their mind. But they knew that I had a passion for radio. Mm-hmm. But after that, after I finished college, then that's when I started working on my trade. Then.
Yes, sir. Let me ask you something. In that last answer, you used a word that I can't imagine you would need to use, but even you had to do it starting off, and that word was mimic.
Uh-huh.
You would mimic some of the other people that you were hearing to develop your style.
Style, yeah.
But now, all these years later, your voice, you know, my grandma used to pick me up from school, and she's long gone now, and your voice, you and Joe Bullard and Tom Flanagan, guys like you, you guys would drive us into school. Your voice is unmistakable. So my next question for you is, how did you settle on your own voice?
Well, you know, I tell you, a young man, his name was Doug Easton, and he was the program director of KATZ in St. Louis. And I had went to St. Louis all during the time I was trying to get started in the business. And I can remember him telling me that he said, "Man, you got to develop your own voice. You have to develop your voice, whereas when you talk, people just automatically recognize you. And you always have to put that juice in there." See, at the time when I started in radio, I was the real Cedric Foster, you know, and he was the one that told me, said, "Now make sure when you come on, don't say the real Cedric Foster. No, say it like this, the real Cedric Foster." And that gets people attention, you know. You want your voice to be stand out in the room.
Absolutely.
And I've always worked on that, even from high school all the way through college. As I mentioned, I mimic and listen to other radio personalities. And when you do that, then you take a little from that person, a little from that person, a little from that person. Then you form your own style.
Your own superhero.
Yeah.
You said you want a voice that stands out in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Your voice now stands out in rooms set on high, because you are in the Black Radio Hall of Fame.
Yes, yes.
I don't want you to glaze over that. I want to dig deep on what does that mean to you personally?
Oh, God, I tell you, it means a whole lot. I want people to know that I've been nominated twice before this one. The first time I was nominated, I was nominated in the gospel category, and then I was nominated with the Talented Brothers. And I got to say this, you know, one of the things, Josh, that I've always felt that it was against me in a way, working in smaller markets, you know, the biggest market I ever worked in was San Antonio. And it was a AM station, and it was only 250 watts. So we could cover San Antonio, but that was basically just about it.
Sure.
And I was just kind of getting my feet off the ground because I was, you know, working on the weekends and stuff. So all the other radio, big-time radio personalities that I knew, they didn't know about me at the time. Yeah, they didn't know about me. But the rest of the markets has been smaller markets, you know, Bryan College Station, Beaumont, Texas, Orange, Lake Charles, those markets.
Sure.
But whatever market I worked in, I want you to know I brought it. I brought it. I'm serious. I wanted to make sure I can work in a major market. radio station.
I heard you say one time as I was researching you, you were either being interviewed somewhere or maybe you were speaking to a crowd or maybe you were just speaking into your feed, but you said one of the things that has really hit home for this about you is that your children and your children's children and your children's children's children will be able to march into Charlotte. That's where it's at, right?
Yeah, well, actually, it's in St. Louis.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, in St. Louis, yeah, Missouri.
In St. Louis. Yeah. And at any given time, see your name, see your face decorated with the accolade of one of the great voices of all time. Talk to me about that posterity a little bit, your legacy, knowing that your family and all the people that you've touched can now memorialize you in a way that most people can't say they've been memorialized.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things, Josh, I believe when I started in radio, I got shows, air checks on my phone that you can hear what I sound like 40 years ago, you know what I mean? And I took pictures, I have complete radio shows that I did, and I wanted to save them, so when I have a 10-year-old grandbaby, so Dallas, granddad, love you now, I want to throw that in there, but I want to give that to her. So when she have kids and get married and all that good stuff, so all of that can be passed down. You know, Roy Woods, that's on CNN. You know him?
Absolutely. Yeah. He was on the show.
Well, his dad worked in radio.
Yes.
And he talks about that. And now Roy can pass that down to his kids, and his kids can pass it down, you know.
Let's stay there for a second, because I've got Cedric Foster, one of the heavyweights, and you've just brought up Roy Wood Sr., who is one of the juggernauts, and Roy Wood Jr., who is also one of the heavyweights. When I had Roy Wood Jr. on the program, we had a great conversation, but one of the places that it spooled out into was the state of terrestrial radio.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Just by the way that you responded just then, I could see that you were feeling what I was putting down. Talk to me a little bit.
Yeah, well,
about
you
that.
Know, now, and I was a part of this. A lot of radio companies now are hiring guys to what they call voice track different radio stations. You may have a guy that's out of Jacksonville or Chicago or New York voice tracking a station here in Tallahassee. You know, now I'm the product of that because I was voice tracking a radio station, Mix 106.1, in Columbus. They took care of Columbus, Starksville, Tupelo, and West Point. And I was on 3 to 7 for 5 years. And I was voice tracking that through Cumulus Radio. You know, they liked the way I sound and everything. And when I used to go there, I got a good friend of mine. His name is Love Bone. I'm part of his show on Saturdays. I call in and make a contribution to his show. Sure. But I used to go hang out with him, and I would meet people in Columbus and Starksville, and they would always say, "Hey, Doc Foster, where you live at, man? We've been looking for you." and I was honest with them. I say, "Man, I'm in Tallahassee. And I'm voice tracking. I'm recording the show. Well, you sound like you was right here, you know. But that's what's happening with radio now. You know, it's just one of those deals that the local flavor is not there like it used to be. Right. You know, people now in the past want to pick up the telephone and call you and say, "Doc Foster, play some Tyrone Davis for me." And I put them on the air, and they really love that, love hearing themselves on the radio. But a lot of times that's not happening anymore. With contests now, you want to win tickets to check out Ursha? Text me or go to the website and that type of stuff.
It's losing the human interaction.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, and that's really sad, you know. As when I was at 96, I would put people on the radio, all the time and record it and play it back and edit it. And
that'll
everything.
Be the highlight of their year.
Yeah,
I was on the radio.
And a lot of people would tell them, hey, I heard you on the radio and that type of stuff. And a lot of times, what back in the day when I was a lot of programmers would tell us to do this, mm-hmm. whereas Josh, you might would call me and say, hey, play Ursha. And I would record you, mm-hmm. and I might would say, I'm going to just use one of my stations, Mix 106.1, instant request. Who is this? Oh, this is Josh. What do you want to hear, Josh? Play Ursha. Boom, and I would play it right then and there. But I have recorded that maybe a half an hour ago.
Yeah.
But that helped a lot of radio stations with their ratings, too, because a lot of people would say, hey, man, I listen to this station because they play your song right away.
Right away.
You know, yeah. And that's something that a lot of programmers instill that in my head.
Sure.
But the situation of, hometown radio is fading away. With that and podcasts, nothing wrong with podcasting.
Sure, I hear you. I understand completely.
Internet radio now, and a guy that may be in New York in your market, and he's doing 10 or 15 different radio stations, basically saying, "I got Michael Jackson coming up this hour, and it's on this station, on that station, on that station."
Yeah. So let's pivot for a second. You said that the first time that you were nominated for the Hall of Fame, it was in the category of gospel, which obviously means that you have spent some time in the gospel sector. One of my, I grew up in the gospel tradition. My dad's a Southern Baptist preacher. And one of my favorite songs growing up was Have You Been Tried by the Fire?
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you something. At 53 years in this game, I bet you have been tried by all sorts of fires.
Oh, yes,
tell me a little
definitely.
Bit about what it's taken to find the strength to persevere through such topsy-turvy business as radio.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I mentioned in the interview, this business is very volatile because it's been times when I started in radio in 1973, one of the guys told me this. He said, hey, man, you planning on getting married? I said, yeah, man, I have my wife, girlfriend, then wife now.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know. You need to think about that because all of a sudden, first, the pay is not that great. And also, stations be changing formats all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked at a number of radio stations in the past, whereas I don't know how you could do this, but can keep it between the program director and the general manager or owner can keep a secret, and then all of a sudden, the next day, they call you and say, we're changing formats, mm-hmm. we're going country, we're going rock. And I'm saying, oh, my goodness, I'm thinking we haven't. The ratings are good. We got pretty good advertising. And all of a sudden, that's what happens with a lot of radio stations. It's not a lot of stability right now, because I love the computer. I do. But I'm telling you, between AI and the computers have taken a lot of jobs away from radio personalities now.
I'm so glad you brought up AI. So this is art and culture programming. Everything that I talk about here is going to orbit art and culture. And obviously, you are a cultural juggernaut, which mm-hmm. is why this was applicable. But there's also an art to mm-hmm. what you do. And when mm-hmm. you talked about AI and taking jobs, I guess no better question than to ask a legendary radio man. And that question is, the art that we peddle in is the art of words,
mm-hmm,
right?
Right, right.
We are raconteurs.
Mm-hmm.
This is a two-part question. The first question is, do you, like me, consider that an art?
Oh, that being a radio personality?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes, definitely.
There's no doubt
about
it.
Everybody can't do this. They can't. And you really, really have to work on your skills.
Sure.
I hear people on the radio saying, this is 98.5, and hope you're having a great day. I mean, I don't want to hear that. I want somebody to keep me up and keep me going.
Well, in closing, I would like to say the email correspondence that we had, you sent some of your air checks over.
Right.
And
right.
In one of those air checks, you were introducing, and this was from years ago. Uh-huh. I think this one was from like the 90s or the late 80s. You were introducing a song by Frankie Beverly, and the song was I Want to Feel Like I'm Wanted.
Wanted, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I
Man,
want
let
you
me tell you,
yes.
that one I sent you, that was in 1986.
And so I'll tell you, if you are ever in a situation where you want to feel like you're wanted, you should know that you're more than wanted. You are needed. You are one of the pioneers of the sport that I have enjoyed playing. You are on our Mount Rushmore, you know, Joe Bullard,
uh-huh.
Doc Foster,
uh-huh.
our very own Tom Flanagan. You know, uh-huh. there's just some voices that you can't forget even if you wanted to, and we appreciate the fact that we'll never be able to forget them. Here's to 53 more years.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much at home for joining us for another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.